weather and climate often cause concern and curiosity, but understanding the facts behind the phenomena can be a challenge. We're here to help. From the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and Illinois Public Media, welcome to Weather Realness, a weekly podcast about the skies above Illinois and the world. I'm your host, Maddie Stover, a doctoral student in physics here at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign.
And I'm Trent Ford, state climatologist at the Prairie Research Institute. And today we're talking about drought in Illinois.
Bloomington Normal Area went a full month with one day of rain. It's led to moderate drought for nearly all of McLean County. The far southeastern tip of the county is in severe drought, along with Champaign-Urbana and eastern Illinois.
The ongoing drought in Illinois impacting more than 8 million residents throughout the Prairie State.
Usually the old timers used to say that you get your late rain in the last 10 days of August or the first week of September. That's your moneymaker for your bees.
For the third year in a row, that rain hasn't come.
Those were some brief examples from the recent TV newscast from St. Louis to Champaign. According to the state climatologist website, as of mid-October, below normal rainfall has continued into fall and has both expanded and worsened drought conditions across the state. Dry vegetation and crops have caused dozens of field fires over the past 2 weeks. Multiple rivers have hit low or no flow, including the Sangamon and Vermilion, and some municipalities have begun to enact voluntary water conservation measures. So Trent, to start us off, how do climatologists and meteorologists define a drought?
Yeah, well, this is where I argue that drought is the most complex of our weather hazards, because we as climatologists and meteorologists broadly define drought as an extended period of basically insufficient precipitation that causes some kind of impact. And that's basically is the definition right there. And the reason that it's so vague is because drought has an evolution. And we can have periods of well below normal rainfall that doesn't actually have an impact depending on when it happens. And it could actually provide a benefit in some cases, like in the spring for planting. And of course, even when we are in a drought, it can affect different systems at different times. So someone may define a drought if they work in water resources as a time when the reservoir gets below this level. But oftentimes that'll happen well after we've already seen crop yield impacts. So it's really in the eye of the beholder as well. But straight scientific definition, a prolonged period of basically insufficient precipitation to cause an impact.
You alluded to this a little bit, but what causes drought?
Yeah, oftentimes what we see is weather patterns that bring in high pressure at the surface, often caused by what we call a ridge in the upper atmosphere, where the flow of the jet stream and the primary storm track gets pushed away from a region. And that naturally happens every year. I would actually argue every month in Illinois, we get some kind of high pressure system. And oftentimes they can be associated with pretty decent weather at first. The real issue is that those high pressure systems can persist depending on the right conditions. And if you get that system set up over a region for weeks to maybe months off and on, you'll start seeing precipitation deficits start to add up because you're missing those storms. And for a region like here in Illinois, we do depend on pretty regular rainfall. Even though winter is generally a little bit drier than summer is, we have wetter conditions pretty much all year long. So if you go a good 3 to 4 month stretch with well below normal rainfall, that land surface that depends on that pretty consistent rain is starting to get dry, and that's usually when we start to get into drought.
Mm. So to sort of call back to a previous episode, are these high pressure systems that cause drought, is that kind of similar to what might cause a heat wave, a heat dome?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why we often see heat wave frequency like at its highest during drought years, like 2012, for example. That's when we broke all these high temperature records, because the same atmospheric patterns are causing both. This is what we call a compound event when we have drought as well as extreme heat, and they can actually work with each other, I suppose, to cause additional stress to things like trees.
You said it's a little bit in the eye of the beholder,
yeah.
But how do we know we're in a drought?
Oh, that's a $1 million question. We know based off of a number of different lines of evidence. There is not one single indicator, index, data set, information that says we are in drought, we're not in drought. I would say if there is one, the closest is the U.S. Drought Monitor. But even that, when it says we're in moderate drought, that's the first level of drought that it defines, it's based off of dozens of indicators. And those indicators rarely line up to say, oh, yes, everything lines up to say we're in drought. And by the time everything lines up, you're in trouble and you're behind the curve. So in general, what we see is when we start to see rainfall deficits start to significantly affect soil moisture, significantly affect stream flow and surface water levels, and then we start hearing about some impacts. Maybe it is that pasture for livestock is starting to degrade. That's kind of an early level impact. Maybe we start to see stream levels start to decline significantly. Those are the when we start to see, okay, not only are we seeing the indicators, like the physical indicators that showing us there's probably drought, but we're starting to see the impact. That's when we are for sure in drought.
So drought is more of a spectrum than a binary.
Absolutely.
Than a yes or no.
Absolutely. And that's where it differs a lot from other types of weather hazards where, right, yes tornado, no tornado, right? With drought, it's like, yeah, we're maybe in drought, we're maybe not in drought. And the same thing when we come out of drought, right? Like it's not just the onset, but the demise, right? And the thing is, like, for example, this particular drought that we're in right now, let's say we get 10 inches of rain between now and the end of the year. That's a pretty wet end to the year, and it'll actually will be very beneficial. And maybe when we get to the end of the year, the topsoil is nice and moist. And if you're a farmer, drought's over, don't care, I got enough moisture in the ground. The problem is that we've just had about 9 months worth of well below normal rainfall here in Champaign-Urbana, which means the groundwater is pretty deep. And that groundwater, especially our water tables, take a lot longer to recharge. So everything looks nice and moist and squishy at the surface, but down below, we're still in drought. So even the timescales of going out of drought are different and complicated, more complicated than just a single timeline similar as we're going into drought.
Interesting. So you talked about drought as dry compared to the normal average, mm-hmm. the normal precipitation for a region. So how much rain do we normally have by mid-October in central Illinois?
And so for most of central Illinois, we usually get between 30 and 34 inches of rain by mid-October for the year. This year, just to put it in context, Champaign-Urbana has had only about 20 inches of rain, so we're about a foot below that average. And actually this year in Champaign, through mid-October, has been the third driest year on record, only after 1988 and 1891. So we got to go back a long ways, past my lifetime, to get to a similarly dry year.
And so we alluded a little bit to the drought of 2012. How does the drought we're in now compare to other droughts that we've had historically?
Yeah, and this is something that is really helpful, but also can be harmful. Just like anything, right? Like if it's in excess, comparing one hazard to another hazard can be helpful to put it in context. But if you do it too much, it can be harmful. So we compare droughts to each other because that's what we as humans do. And it can be helpful to try to predict when we'll see different outcomes, like when we'll see a reservoir get to critical levels. 2012 was a very different drought, though, because 2012, we had a very dry fall in 2011, and then we had an unbelievably hot spring. Just really context, coming out of drought just a second here. When we look at projections of climate change in spring, changing temperatures for Illinois, we've run these different projections, and we see that 2012 is still unusually hot, even by end of century projections. That's how hot it was. It was just incredibly hot. So that really kicked off spring evaporation and everything. Mm-hmm. And then it was just too dry when it was hottest, June, July, August, and it just kind of persisted. So that was an early to mid-season drought. This drought, even though we've been accumulating precipitation deficit since January, it really didn't intensify until late August, September. And so it's been a more of a late season drought. So we haven't necessarily seen agricultural and ecological impacts nearly to the degree of what we saw in 2012. They're there, but they're more limited. However, because this is a late season drought, this is the time of the year as we move from September to October when we start the water year where our hydrology is often at its driest, to put it a weird way. So our streams are lowest, our soils are driest, our water tables are the deepest. And so when we add on to that the cumulative impact of several months of drought, it puts us in the situation that we talked about with having things like low rivers, low reservoirs, things like that can be problematic. So that's why I say this drought that we're in currently is really more defined as a hydrological drought affecting water availability more so than agricultural, like what 2012 was.
Mm-hmm. For those just tuning in, you're listening to Weather Realness, the podcast about Illinois weather and climate. We're talking with Illinois State Climatologist Trent Ford about the current drought in Illinois. So, Trent, what are your concerns about wildfires or farm fields catching fire during this drought?
Yeah, and I know we're bringing on an expert to talk about this here soon, and Chris can guide much more with better details and scientific mind behind this, but certainly wildfire and field fires are a significant risk. We've already seen over the last couple of weeks dozens of field fires across Illinois, and some of that is just the crops, especially corn and beans, are so dry right now. We run those hot combines through them, and it's just a recipe for disaster. So we've definitely seen those impacts, but you know, certainly wildfire or field fires are a risk because we have a lot of fuel, basically very dry vegetation, and so even the smallest spark from cigarette being thrown out the window to whatever else can really cause a problem. And when we have the right weather conditions, right, we have the climate conditions that have given us a lot of dry fuel, but when we have the right weather conditions, low humidity, high temperatures, high wind, it can mean that when that spark does happen and the fire does spark, it can spread really quickly.
And what are the biggest concerns of farmers or community leaders who reach out to you?
Yeah, for farmers, a lot of times when we talk about drought, it is how long it's going to last, and they thinking about the impact of yield, which is really the timing of the crop. Is the drought like 2012, where it overlaid with pollination and reproduction of the crops, which really harmed crop yield? More of this year where we have like later timing. So we did have some impact, but it was a little bit more muted. And as far as community leaders, yeah, they're just wanting to know, especially those municipal water managers, just when is this going to end? Are we going to get a significant amount of rainfall? And so that's something that we're, now that we're in this drought, it's kind of a constant kind of just communication. They want to know what the expectations are so they can plan ahead. We want to know, as far as the water survey and the state agencies, of where they're at with their reservoirs, with their levels, to make sure that we can preempt any kind of, significant impact.
Yeah. And we're going to talk more about how to plan for the water supply in the next segment.
Yeah.
So do we normally have droughts this time of year in Illinois?
So drought is a very normal part of our climate, but it is sort of an extreme. So we don't have droughts every year. This time of the year is normally very dry, meaning that we've just gone through a summer with lots of demand for water, less supply of water, which means our soils are the driest that they typically are this time of the year. It doesn't necessarily mean drought, but we can have drought this time of the year. And actually, drought can happen any season in Illinois. But again, we typically think of the worst droughts on record as those that are more mid-summer droughts, because they typically coincide with really significant agricultural and ecological problems.
And so kind of the million-dollar question, can we predict a drought? And if so, how much lead time can we give people?
Yeah, definitely the million. Truly, literally, probably a billion-dollar question if I could adequately or appropriately predict drought. It's really hard to predict drought more than maybe a handful of weeks to a month ahead of time. And that's really challenging because even if we were to get a really accurate prediction of drought 3 weeks ahead of time, say, hey, there's a drought coming in 3 weeks, that's still probably not enough time for folks to take any sort of predictive action, any kind of action.
Exactly.
In reality, what we want is a prediction of drought a year or several seasons ahead of time. Like, I want to know, am I going to come in as a farmer, as a water manager, am I going to come in May and this drought that we have right now is going to continue and worsen, or we're going to get better? That makes a huge difference on how I'm going to contingency plan. But unfortunately, we simply cannot predict the weather conditions that would either improve or deteriorate drought over that long period of time. Even though winter is typically the most skillful season as far as climate prediction is concerned here in Illinois, we still can't say that, okay, if I were to guarantee we have wetter than normal conditions and below normal temperatures from now until April, that we're going to come out of drought, because it just depends on how much wetter, how much cooler and where that rain falls. So drought prediction is challenging. Certainly for an actionable time scale, we can get to maybe 3 to 4 weeks. And then there are periods of time, especially in other regions where their climate maybe is a bit more predictable on year to year time scales, like the desert Southwest, where we can get a little bit better predictability from some of the longer term patterns of the ocean temperatures and pressure. But here in the Midwest, it's a lot more challenging.
So we talk about this in previous episodes, but typically the larger the hazard is, the more lead time you can give to predict that. So with drought, is it that these kind of smaller storm systems coming through can kind of break up the drought? Is that why it's difficult to predict?
That's part of it. The other part is that we're sort of the challenge here is, I think the real challenge is what you talked about. Yes, that there is. You know, a lot of times, especially in the summer, we get these kind of broken, isolated convective cells that are really hard to predict anyway. But I think another thing is that, like I mentioned, drought is really in the eye of the beholder. Drought is really defined by the impact. And the impact has that human imprint on it. So I mentioned the data center thing. That's just an example of how water demand is changing. But what that means is that the water demand and therefore the drought impact in an area of Illinois in 20 years is going to look different than it does today. So we're predicting the weather and the climate at the same time that we're also trying to account for these very complicated and sometimes very rapid changes in human demand. But of course, people don't care about how much rain we got. They care about the impact. So that is really, I think, one of the biggest issues with drought prediction. Not that our weather and climate prediction aren't accurate. It's just that there's sort of an information gap between the weather and climate prediction and the information that everybody actually cares about, which is the drought impact. So I think that, you know, when it comes to improving drought prediction, it really is, of course, improving our weather and climate models. That is a given. But also improving the information flow and the collaboration between those who are working in drought science and those who are working in how communities are responding to drought and perceive and experience drought, and the actual weather and climate prediction, to marry those better so that we can get better information for those who are managing things like water resources and agriculture for drought.
Yeah, kind of coupling to those like social needs.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
So I'm sure you've been asked this many times, but sort of meteorologically, are there any indicators of when this drought is going to end?
Over the next couple of months, there isn't an indication of prolonged dryness necessarily, which is a good sign. So there's an absence of a drought signal, I suppose, in the outlooks. We are officially in La Nina pattern in the Pacific, which can paint us a bit wetter than normal in a typical winter, especially in central Illinois. So those two things kind of added together mean that, hopefully we get wetter conditions. But it is tough to say how long it is going to take to get out of this drought. And like I mentioned before, if we have a wetter winter, we could come into the growing season perfectly fine in the top, foot or two of soil. And our streams look okay because there was enough runoff and ice melt and everything from the snow or from winter. But our groundwater reserves are pretty well tapped. So in that case, this next growing season looks a lot different than this one does if we do go into a shorter period of drought. So that's all to say that not really. There's not really as consistent signals say, yes, this is going to end, in the next few weeks or carry on. I will say that it's most likely that we'll be carrying some form of drought, whether it's slightly improved or possibly worsened, through the end of the year.
So for folks in ag, kind of keeping that top foot of soil moist, do we need a wetter than average winter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. We will need that even a normal winter, as far as normal quote-unquote rainfall, will be sufficient to make sure that there's enough moisture in the root zone. The real concern is the deeper layer soil and where that water table is, because that's going to dictate base flow in our streams and how quickly or how flashy the entire land surface or the land system is to drought that may appear in the summertime next summer. If we already have a deficit, even if it's not enough to consider drought, if we have a deficit rolling into next summer, it's going to take a shorter period of drought, less intense drought, to magnify impacts. And so that's kind of how that's why we have to track the entirety from atmosphere all the way through groundwater to understand where we're at with drought and maybe what could happen.
So you could think about drought as having a long memory.
It can definitely have a long memory, and especially long if our groundwater and levels start to be affected by the drought.
What about the winter projections? Are we projected to have a wet winter?
So the period December through February is projected to have a slightly higher chance of wetter than normal conditions, mainly because they're leaning into La Nina. So that is good news. We really just need I've been kind of making the joke, we need a dreary, wet, cold, damp winter that we can often get here in Illinois to improve those drought conditions. And so let's all hope for that, right?
So for those who wonder if drought is connected to climate change, what is your answer for that?
Yeah, so it's really complicated, and I don't mean to punt on this question, but I want to just reinforce the point that it's really complicated. So when it comes to drought in Illinois, there's no like single quick answer when it comes to climate change, like, yes, drought is getting worse. No, drought is getting not worse. And any kind of default to that answer is not telling the whole truth. In reality, what we've seen across over the last 100 years or so, and what's projected over the next 100 years, is a wetter climate here in Illinois. So year to year, more precipitation. That's particularly the case for the winter and spring, a little bit less so for summer and fall. So by that standard, these multi-year or decade-long droughts that we saw previously in the early 20th century are something that we haven't seen in decades. Even when we talk about the 2012, 1988 droughts, those were 1 or 2 year periods of time. So we didn't stretch it on for 4 or 5 years like we did in the 50s and the 30s and the teens. So in that case, drought vulnerability could be lessened by a wetter climate. The problem is that we also have warmer temperatures because of climate change, which means more evaporation and more variable precipitation. So that means that we get heavier bursts of rain followed by longer periods of dryness, which could affect how our land is responding to that drought. Maybe make it less effective, that precipitation at improving the drought condition. So all that's to say that it is really complicated. Drought is a part of our natural climate. It will always be with us. But kind of the overall prognosis of climate change and drought here in Illinois is perhaps fewer, not none, but fewer long-term droughts, multi-year droughts, but maybe a higher chance or more frequent, intense, flashier types of droughts where we go in really quickly, have impacts, last for a few months, and then come out.
For those just tuning in, you're listening to Weather Realness, the podcast about Illinois weather and climate. I'm Maddie Stover, a doctoral student in physics here at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign.
And I'm Trent Ford, Illinois State Climatologist at the Prairie Research Institute.
Have a weather or climate question you want us to tackle? Leave us a voicemail at 217-333-2141 or email weatherrealness@illinois.edu. Coming up next, we're talking about some of the impacts of drought, from water supply to preventing fires. We'll be right back.
Illinois Public Media News. This is who we are. Central Illinois is our home and our focus. From Champaign County's most listened to newscasts and conversations that bring the state together, the future will bring changes, but it won't change who we are. Illinois Public Media News on WILL AM and IPMNewsroom.org.